It's the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast. Coming in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the NASA Lunar Science Institute podcast, which highlights the latest news and information of the Moon, on the Moon, and from the Moon. It's produced by the NASA Lunar Science Institute at the Ames Research Center in Moffett Field, California.
A new way to explore the Moon? Hi, this is Nancy Atkinson for the NASA Lunar Science Institute. We've been to the Moon, although 40 years ago now, with humans landing there during the Apollo program, and we've also explored the lunar surface with robotic spacecraft. But what about a combination of humans and robots working together? A group of lunar scientists have recently proposed a plan where astronauts could remotely control spacecraft, such as rovers, on the surface of the Moon from lunar orbit. Joining me to provide more information is the principal investigator for the LUTER team from NLSI, Dr. Jack Burns from the University of Colorado in Boulder. Hi, Dr. Burns, and thanks for being with us.
Well, you're welcome.
You are one of the authors of a new paper that talks about exploring the lunar far side from the lunar L2 Lagrangian point, which is a region about 65,000 kilometers beyond the Moon, and using teleoperated landers and rovers. Now, this sounds really exciting. Almost like something straight out of science fiction. First of all, could you talk about the advantages of going to the lunar L2 point to explore the Moon?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that because this really is a new approach. It's an approach driven at least in part by practicality of budgets that are available to NASA, but it also represents the first in what we think will be the next generation of exploration that involves both humans and robots. In this case, we have the Orion spacecraft, which is the next generation exploration vehicle that NASA is funding. They'll be launched by the SLS, the Space Launch System that NASA is putting together. And it will go to what's called a Lagrange point, which is a balance point of near zero gravity that is in the Earth-Moon system. This particular Lagrange point sits directly above the lunar far side, about 65,000 kilometers above the surface of the Moon. And what we're proposing is the astronauts will be at that Lagrange point in the Orion vehicle, and we would separately then land an unmanned lander with a rover on the surface of the far side that would then be what we call teleoperated or remotely controlled by the astronauts who would direct the rover to both collect samples of geologically important rocks on the far side as well as to deploy a low-frequency radio telescope.
Okay. Yeah, and we did talk with you previously about your idea of setting up a huge telescope on the lunar far side to do astrophysics. So how could all of this be done remotely?
Well, the sophistication of robotic vehicles today is quite extraordinary, certainly relative to Apollo. The Apollo astronauts didn't have access to the kind of technology, so it was single astronauts on the surface of the Moon really having to both set up scientific instruments as well as do collections. Today, when you have sophisticated robotic vehicles like Curiosity on the surface of Mars, we now have the ability of those robots to be basically an extended set of hands of the astronauts who would sit in orbit to control these vehicles and to plan the science course for these rovers on the surface of the Moon. Getting astronauts to the surface is very expensive, and it's not something that's easy to fit within NASA's budget right now. But getting unmanned landers is just a fraction of the cost. And again, the technology exists such that having real-time joystick control of the rovers from this Lagrange point is eminently doable.
Okay. So what was kind of the genesis of this idea? Was it the, as you said, the difficulty of getting humans to the moon and the budget problems, or could you just explain that a little bit more?
Sure. It's really a combination. Certainly budgetary constraints are important. And NASA's budget through the end of this decade is forecasted to be effectively flat, and if you incorporate inflation, probably declining. So at the same time, NASA is investing billions of dollars into the Orion space vehicle as well as the SLS. So what can we do that is new and exciting with this combination? And that's where my colleagues and I came up with the working, in fact, with Lockheed Martin, who's building the Orion capsule, came up with the concept that the combination of astronauts in the Orion capsule at the Lagrange point, exploring what we have envisioned as really a whole new world, namely the far side of the moon. We've never been to the surface of the far side, yet its surface area is almost twice that of the United States. It's the largest unexplored piece of real estate we have in what is called cislunar space, that is in the Earth-Moon environment. It's much larger than any asteroid that we could imagine going to that is relatively nearby. And it has these, what's nice about the surface of the moon in general, but the far side in particular, has the oldest impact basin in the inner solar system, which may hold the key to understanding the history of the evolution of the Earth and moon through this period of heavy bombardment that took place about 4 billion years ago, exactly when life was beginning to form on the Earth.
Okay. Now, as far as exploring the lunar far side, if a lander was to go there, one of the problems of doing a lunar far side mission is the problem of communication. How does the mission that you've proposed using the Lagrangian point, how does that solve the communication problems?
Yeah, that's a great question, because we're not talking about actually putting the capsule at the Lagrange point itself, which if we did, the moon would block the view to the Earth. Instead, we're talking about put it in what's called a halo orbit around the Lagrange point. Because it is a balance point, you're able to orbit it as well. And so being in an orbit, we would design the orbit such that both the far side and the Earth will be visible from the Orion capsule at the same time. So the astronauts will be in constant direct communication with the Earth, as well as in constant and direct communication with the rover on the far side.
Now, you're proposing to use the new Orion spacecraft. Could you talk a little bit about how you would use the spacecraft and just kind of how it all comes together with Orion?
Well, we're envisioning that Orion probably would dock with a space station module, that is something similar to what the ISS already has in orbit of the Earth, and just one of those modules would be parked or placed there ahead of time. That would allow the Orion to dock with that module and provide the astronauts with more room to maneuver, with more supplies, so that they could stay at the Lagrange point for a month, maybe even two, initially, and would represent a significant stay for the first time, much longer than anything we did with Apollo in this interplanetary space. So having that ability to be able to dock would be important. And then secondly is that direct line of sight communication to the rover on the far side. It's a short delay time, only 0.4 of a second round trip time, given the speed of light between the spacecraft, the surface, and then back to Orion. That means that there is almost no delay and makes it very attractive in being able to operate the rover in real time. And this is a contrast to what we have to do with Curiosity right now, where you have a long delay, a number of minutes delay between the Earth and Mars. And so Curiosity has to be programmed ahead of time, can only move in small steps, whereas a rover on the surface of the moon in direct teleoperation by astronauts in Orion would be able to move the rover at a pretty quick pace and be able to survey much larger areas than what has been possible up until now.
How does this mission provide a testbed for any future missions, perhaps like to Mars or an asteroid?
Well, that's also a great question, because that's really at the heart of the reason for doing this. And that is, it's likely that the first human missions to Mars will also not be missions right to the surface, because they're very expensive and technologically challenging. So it is likely that in, say, 30 years' time, or however long it takes to get to Mars, that first astronauts would be in orbit, and they too would want to teleoperate spacecraft from orbit. So once again, like the case of this mission with the moon, the advantage of the astronauts being in orbit is they'd have very short time delay, or what's called latency, a very short latency time, so that you could operate the rovers directly from Mars orbit and explore vast sections of territory, adapt the scientific mission depending upon what was discovered, go into some regions that may be biologically active on Mars. So what we're doing here is we're pioneering the operational methodology of how you do this kind of teleoperation from orbit. So this kind of thing has not been done before. We'll learn how to do that in the vicinity of the moon, and then we will utilize that when we go to Mars in future decades.
Are there any other aspects of your proposal that you think are important for people to know?
Well, I think what's important is this mission is going to liberate us from low Earth orbit. We've really been stuck in low Earth orbit for the last almost 40 years now. Our last mission to the moon beyond low Earth orbit was 1972 with Apollo 17. So this mission is affordable. It's exciting from a science perspective. It's cutting edge as far as exploration is concerned, that it gets us back out into interplanetary space and begins that first stepping stone towards eventual exploration of other objects in the solar system like asteroids and Mars.
Well, Dr. Burns, thank you very much for joining us to tell us more about your paper, which is entitled A Lunar L2 Far Side Exploration and Science Mission Concept with the Orion Multipurpose Crew Vehicle and a Teleoperated Lander Rover. It sounds very exciting.
Well, thanks. It's been a pleasure to join you.
To find out more about this topic, visit our website at www.lunarscience.nasa.gov. Any opinions expressed are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of NASA or the NASA Lunar Science Institute. This podcast is produced for educational and information purposes only. On behalf of the NASA Lunar Science Institute, thanks for listening.
This episode of 365 Days of Astronomy was sponsored by Clear Skies Observing Guides, a modern-day celestial handbook, www.clearskies.eu. Clear Skies Observing Guides, or CSOG, is a new concept in visual amateur astronomy. The observing guides contain thousands of objects to observe through amateur telescopes, with matching tours for go-to telescopes and matching astroplanar plan files. CSOG allows you to target deep sky objects and carbon stars you never observed before, night after night. Wishing astronomers around the world clear skies.
You are listening to the IYA 365 Days of Astronomy podcast. Cool.
The 365 Days of Astronomy podcast is produced by Astrosphere New Media Association. Audio post-production by Preston Gibson. Bandwidth donated by Libsyn.com and Wizard Media. Web design by Clockwork Active Media Systems. You may reproduce and distribute this audio for non-commercial purposes. Please consider supporting the podcast with a few dollars or euros. Visit us on the web at 365daysofastronomy.org or email us at info@365daysofastronomy.org. Until tomorrow, goodbye.